Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Emma Lahana from Marvel's Cloak & Dagger on Freeform, which is one of my favorite Marvel adaptations to date. And Emma herself plays Bridget O'Reilly in Friends. So welcome, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to not spoil anything for season two, but there were two instances where you made me scream with joy in season one. First was when you name dropped Misty Knight's name.
Misty Knight, yeah, because she is pretty damn cool.
Uh-huh. And then at the end where you had that little head turn coming out of the water all green.
My little post, I know, I'm so stoked that in my life I can say I was a Marvel post-credit scene. Like, that's a pretty cool thing to say you did.
Yes, very, very few have that claim to fame, and now you're one of them. But season two has exploring Bridget O'Reilly and Mayhem together, and in my mind, you're playing three characters. You're playing O'Reilly. You're playing Mayhem being O'Reilly, and then you're playing Mayhem, right? And then Mayhem being Mayhem, and I'm like, is she getting like hazard pay for this?
Right, I get paid three times, essentially. No, I get paid my rate, which is fine. But yeah, that's always the interesting thing, kind of going into season two, almost felt like an audition because I got cast as Bridget, and then Mayhem is quite a departure from Bridget. So season two, the whole time, almost felt a little bit like an audition because I wasn't sure if, you're always nervous, am I doing what they want? Am I portraying the character the way, our showrunner envisions? And always hoping that you're doing justice because we're so lucky to work with such amazing writers and have such an amazing showrunner. So you want to make sure you're keeping them happy and kind of giving them the vision that they had in their head and doing it justice. So it was a little bit stressful making sure I was doing a good job. And yeah, it definitely started to get a bit, your head gets a bit crazy when you're kind of doing really long hours and then you're thinking, hey, wait, which one am I? I'm Bridget. Well, no, I'm Mayhem being Bridget and tricking everyone else that I'm Bridget. So definitely had to really, really be on my stuff. I mean, I always am. I'm very disciplined. I'm a trained ballerina, so I think that always comes with being a very disciplined / OCD person. But yeah, I really had to be on top of everything this season because of those scenes.
Well, I know the writers had a lot of fun, crafting Mayhem and the destruction she brings. How much fun did you have breaking the character you built from season one?
I mean, it was fun. I'm definitely really hard on myself as well, though, so it kind of sometimes becomes fun after the fact that you've done it all, because I'm very someone that kind of, for instance, when I audition, I don't get nervous before or while I'm in the audition. I get nervous after to make sure I did everything that I wanted to do and did the best that I could do in the room. So I'm the type of person that enjoys doing it. Then afterwards, I really get in my head and go over and over and, kind of can tear myself about a bit. But it was fun. And, I'm so lucky because we, like I was saying before, we have such a great showrunner and he is so supportive of us. And he's also, he really includes us when we kind of start breaking stories for the season. So we actually have these big conversations with our writers and with Joe. And are there from the beginning and understand the story that they're trying to tell and what they're trying to tell and the way they're trying to tell it. So we have a lot of support. And if I'm on set and I'm confused about something or, if I'm maybe even given direction that I don't know if I necessarily agree with for my character, I can, have Joe on speed dial and call him and be like, hey, let me run this by you. So we have a really good support system and the people that, build the show around us that we can always call them and they always have our back.
Did you think it was more of a acting stretch, more exciting to play Mayhem on a rampage or play Bridget on a mission?
I think Mayhem, because I'm so different from Mayhem. I couldn't be further from her, I think, in a lot of ways. So that's definitely fun because it's such a stretch. But, you know, Joe and I had a lot of discussions kind of going into this in terms of how we wanted to portray Mayhem and making sure that she wasn't this, as we always kind of refer to it, twirly mustache villain type. So we didn't want her to be like a kind of caricature and the stereotypical quote-unquote villain, even though she's, you know, vigilante anti-hero, but people keep referring to her as a villain. So I was on the line with him a lot with different scenes and making sure, hey, I don't want to, you know, because there's so many ways that you could read a scene and play it this very stereotypical over-the-top way. And I think a lot of people come in and they get excited about that idea of it, but that's not what we wanted to do, because we want our characters to be relatable, even if they're doing stuff that you can't relate to, if that makes any sense. So understanding their intention and it coming from a really grounded place, I think makes you root for the characters more and just kind of challenges our audience more. And we have such an intelligent audience. And that's why we also wanted to flip on the head, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde thing, because that's what everyone expected we were going to do. And I'm so glad we kind of managed to keep that a secret, the fact that they were two separate people. Because, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde thing, as fun as that is, it has been done a lot. So I'm really glad that we actually did something different. Sorry, that was my dog in the background. Yeah, so I don't even remember what the question was, and I totally babbled. So I hope I answered it, and if I didn't, you can ask me again.
No, that's completely fine, because that twist was something that I don't think any of the old Marvel fans like myself were expecting. It's like Mayhem, you know, Bridget died, Mayhem rose in her place. It's like, oh, there's two of them. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, so there are going to be a lot of interesting, fun things coming along in that regard. I mean, it's funny doing scenes with yourself. It's like a if I was like a narcissist, it would be a dream. But it's quite challenging because you have a double. And you have to, so if I was doing the Mayhem side of the scene first, I have to tell the double, hey, as Bridget, this is what you need to do with your body language, and this is what I want you to do, and you know, teach the double what to do, and then you play Mayhem, then you change over, and then you come back and play Bridget. And then you have to completely 100% commit to what you told the double to do. You can't change it anymore. So, you know, if you get different ideas, you can't really bring those forward anymore. You've committed from the beginning to what you're going to do with the other character before you've even played it.
Cool. And since Mayhem is actually out in the streets causing a lot of mayhem, how did you approach doing some of the more physical scenes? Because Mayhem is a lot more active, a lot more, shall we say, aggressive than Bridget was in season one. Did you enjoy jumping into that?
Yeah, I really do love the physicality side of it. I trained for about a month, like 3 weeks to a month before we flew out to New Orleans. In Krav Maga, and it was really, really intense sometimes. And because we had such a quick time for me to pick it up, sometimes we would do like sessions that were hours and hours, and I would die. I'd be dead that night, like exhausted. But it was really fun. I love that aspect. And we're also really lucky that that Joe allows us to be a part of the conversation when constructing the fight scenes. So, you know, because he's always like, no one knows your characters better than you. So he allows us to be a part of that conversation. So we can say, that wouldn't make sense. Like, I don't see her doing that. So we kind of get to be, especially towards the end of the season, we really had a bigger hand in everything. So we get to be there while they're constructing the fight scenes. And it's really, really fun. I'm really excited for the finale. The finale's got some pretty epic shit in it.
Nice. Very nice. I'm looking forward to that. The dynamic between O'Reilly and Tandy and Ty was set up very well. I thought it was just poignant and heartbreaking in season one. Adding Mayhem to the mix with our divine pairing, how did that change how you approached playing Bridget with them?
Well, Bridget is in such a different place than she was in season one. You know, she's dealing with PTSD and, you know, now has kind of faced off with the doppelganger who, you know, looks like her but is doing things that she highly disagrees with. So there's a, you know, that kind of just pushes her back further because she's in a very fair place, and kind of like all the rage went out of Bridget and went into Mayhem. And you'll understand, I mean, you've seen three, and I'm not sure if this is coming out before or after three, but kind of like when the split is explained, you understand why Mayhem is so full of rage. And so Bridget has kind of lost that entire emotion. It's completely gone out of her into the Mayhem version of herself. So she's very much stuck because anger and rage is, you know, so often it's portrayed as a really negative emotion, which it can be if obviously, you know, Mayhem is a prime example of that, if that's the only thing that you're operating from. But when you're going through stages of grief, I think the fourth or third stage is anger. And the reason that anger is so important is because it's actually what drives you to move forward. It's a very motivating emotion. And if you don't have that when you're going through grief, it's very hard to get out of bed and do anything. So Bridget's almost in that space because she's lost that driving emotion that's just completely gone out of her.
Cool. Well, in between seasons one and seasons two, did you get out on the convention circuit and meet some of your fans?
I didn't really. We did Comic-Con, which was really, really cool. And that was epic. We went down to San Diego, and it's so cool how the whole town is just kind of converted, because my best friend is actually, she's from Encinitas, just outside of San Diego, so I love down there. I love going down there, and it's amazing to see how they really transformed that city for that event. And that was really, really fun. We got to meet a bunch of cool people when we were doing the signing, and then at the panel, we were so nervous. I remember before they called our names, we were all looking at each other. Our hearts were racing, but everybody was very kind and welcoming to us. It was really fun.
Cool, because I've noticed you you interact with the fans when they're live tweeting every now and then, and it just looks like they completely enjoy interacting with you and the way your character is developing on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope they like it. You know, because the fact that people are watching and enjoying the show, that's what allows us to keep doing it. So it's really fun to interact with them, and it was so fun last week because I, you know, was kind of lying. When I was talking about the scene where you have Bridget and Mayhem in the puddle, I think I tweeted something like, oh, you know you've had too much to drink when you start seeing yourself talking to yourself in a puddle. So it's really funny watching everybody's reactions and people, you know, when Bridget comes into the club and everybody thinks Bridget's just playing, you know, and acting like, oh, I don't know who did this, and like, call me. And it's like, no, she really doesn't know who did it. So that was really fun to watch. People kind of, they all had an idea of what it was going to be, and then watch all the reactions when we just like flipped it on its head.
So that was like the ultimate red herring misdirect there. So bravo on that. But we are all looking forward to seeing how Mayhem develops for the rest of this season. So thank you, Emma, for your time today.
Thank you so much.
And keep having fun as Mayhem, because I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
Okay, thank you so much, Emma.
And we'll be back with more Slices of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
I told that devil to take you back.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, and now that Fox has canceled The Gifted, Cloak and Dagger is the one Marvel TV show I'm looking forward to. And I really hope we get a season three of this real soon. NBC made a late entry in giving us a season two on Manifest, so at least I don't have to worry about that one. And I am not emotionally prepared to talk about The Magician, so we're just going to avoid that. There are plenty of clips on YouTube, on Sci-Fi Channel's YouTube channel, highlight reel, so to speak, of episode 13 for season 4. Oh, Yeah, I was not emotionally prepared for that. And no, I will not spoil it for folks, but you can binge seasons 1 through 3 on Netflix right now, and I'm hoping season 4 will show up on Netflix before July, because I really need to watch all that again. Independent science fiction and horror is something that you guys know I am a fan of, and we have had some really cool features come out. I'm trying to get a hold of more short films in the sci-fi and horror realms, just to keep up with the people who are making the short films, because sometimes the short films are a lot more adventurous than the features. And sometimes experiments are good, sometimes experiments are bad. I know Seventh Matrix, it covers a lot of short films, and I may start chatting with the guys over there again. And figure out what to do about the harebrained ideas I had a couple years ago and getting them launched. You guys know I'm a big horror fan. I think Shudder is the coolest niche streaming platform out there. And you can sometimes watch what they're doing live. They have a live stream right there on their website, which I'm sure is crashing every Friday night during Joe Bob Briggs' late night drive-in features there. This week's movie was a Sonny Chiba cult classic called Wolf Guy. And I followed Twitter on that this past Friday night, and it was delightful. It was hilarious watching the reactions to the live tweets from Joe Bob and company. And I am so glad that they are uncovering all of these lost masterpieces of cheese and special effects, because we need more fun horror movies. You know, what's the line? Why so serious? All horror movies don't have to be that serious. Every now and then, you need to look at a guy in a not quite 100% believable plastic or rubber suit jumping around scaring other people. It's a necessity. We need to laugh. We need to scream and then laugh afterwards. Because if it's all screaming, that's not fun for anybody except the guy with the bloody knife coming down the hallway. Did I say that out loud? Anyway, the two projects I have been building very, 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 very slowly are horrorhappenings.com and scifishowcase.com, which broke, so I'm rebuilding that. I'm a little bit annoyed about that I didn't notice it sooner, but hey, crap happens. I want to fill out the calendars on both of those sites with fun events, stuff beyond the regular Comic-Cons, you know, the film festivals, the showcases, the screenplay competitions, the cosplay competitions, stuff that would be fun for all sorts of attendees. So if you have suggestions, send them my way. We'll see if we can get those sites populated. And if you want to help out, let me know. We'll get something rolling that way too. How do you guys feel about books? Science fiction, horror, mysteries, thrillers. Just let me know if book prizes are something you're also interested in, to go along with the other stuff that we've been doing, I have a lot of books to find new homes for, because I am running out of space and I may have to pick up and hit the road again to destinations unknown. Not really happy about it, but I'm not really upset about it either. I mean, I've been homeless and wandering since about 2014 and kind of getting used to it. Not used to not having space, but the other stuff, picking up and moving around again on short notice, has kind of become a thing. I don't know if it's a healthy thing or a good thing, but it's kind of my thing right now, so who knows? I thought I was going to end up in Chicago, but that didn't work out, so we're going to see what happens next. But to help me get a move on faster, I need to find new homes for some of these books. So I have advanced reader copies, I have mass market paperbacks, I have trade paperbacks, I have hardcovers, and I'm going to restructure the perks on the Patreon page so that more books are available to more people. Does that make sense? And we'll see about getting those out to folks who want them. Because we did have a few people who won a prize for a particular month that they pledged support for, but they didn't want the books. And except for the, what was it, Star Trek philosophy book, not a whole lot of people have wanted the books. So I don't know what to do. So you tell me if books are of interest to you. The giveaway also extends to the writersafterdark.com website and podcast that are over there. And the contest is closed for now. The contest we were talking about the past few weeks is closed for now. It will open back up again in May. And I think we'll just have one section instead of splitting it into sci-fi and horror, just one long list of prizes you can choose from. I have brand new, arrived this week, Justice League versus the Fatal Five, animated feature from Warner Brothers. That'll be in the prize pile as soon as I finish writing the review for it. And I discovered that I still have season sets for, I think it's Supergirl season 2 and Gotham season 3, maybe. I have the Lego Flash movie. I think Shannara Chronicles season 2 set is hiding over there someplace too. I have a stack of DVDs on the other side of the room that I cannot read right now. But maybe I'll put up a poll on Twitter. Yeah, I think I'll do that. For the folks who asked, after I mentioned last week about the old podcast that would be going away by September, yeah, I forgot to mention the websites where you can find them, so I apologize for that. If you're interested in TD0013's A Different Point of View, the Star Wars Stormtrooper commentary, A Different Point of View, that's over at winginitarchives.com. That's winging it without a G. Dragon Page Winging It is also there. If you're interested in the old episodes of Winging It and Winging It 3D, which were version 2 and version 3 that came after Dragon Page Winging It, let me know. I'm currently making some of those available because while they were removed from iTunes, I thought I had not yet removed the files from the Winging It Archives website, but I had, so sorry about that for those who went looking for them and could not find it. My apologies. I am making the actual files available to you forthwith. Same goes for Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. If you want to grab those, now's the time to do it. They are still available on iTunes. They are still available from the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas website. And I'm still not sure what I'm going to do with Dragon Page. I may make Dragon Page a highlight reel, a greatest hits feed, instead of, I think right now it's the most, it's the last 25 or so episodes that were done, but I may resurrect that and make it a best of or a greatest hits feed. The website Pop Culture Geeks will be shutting down also end of August. That I just don't have enough contributors to go beyond the sci-fi horror action scope that is currently on Slice of Sci-Fi. The comedies, the dramas, the romantic comedies, which I am not a fan of in any sense of the word. The folks who had submitted those old reviews for those films, I've told them, go grab your clips now, because at the end of August, that's all going away. If anyone knows someone who would be interested in buying the name Pop Culture Geeks, send them my way. Just saying. But yeah, let me know if you're interested in the books, because the books are something I have quite a few of, and I would like to get them to new homes, and I don't know an efficient way to do that anymore. I had multiple venues when I was in Arizona and California, and back east in the DC Baltimore area, I don't seem to have that same luxury. I might have that luxury again in Philadelphia or New York. I don't know yet if I'm going to end up there. We'll see. In any event, when I'm on the move again, I am going to do my best to continue to provide Slice of Sci-Fi on a weekly basis. And if I can't, I will let you guys know through Twitter or through updates on the show. So we'll figure out what to do with that. And as always, if you have questions or comments about this or anything else, please call. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you're listening through iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. Tell people to check the show out, because the more reviews we get, the more listeners we get, and the more listeners we get, the more that helps raise the profile of the show and the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi there. You can check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi in those platforms as well. And of course, the website, sliceofscifi.com, where you can listen to these shows. You can comment on the content of these episodes. You can leave your own comments for the news items that we've provided and the reviews, the TV and movie reviews that are out there as well. Future interviews. My good friend Rod Pyle, his second book of 2019, just arrived at my doorstep, Heroes of the Space Age. So we're going to talk about that real soon now and look forward to that. And a few more indie sci-fi features coming along, so keep an ear out for those as well. like to thank everyone who is supporting the efforts here at Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark and keeping Babylon Podcast online for all those Babylon 5 fans who have not yet indulged in some of the wackiest interviews ever done with the Babylon 5 cast and crew, including a 2-hour interview with JMS himself, a 2-hour interview with Jason Carter, a 2-hour interview with producer John Copeland. So much fun. An interesting interview with Claudia Christian and a profanity-laced interview with the late Jerry Doyle. Those are still available at BabylonPodcast.com. Go over there, have some fun, watch a couple of episodes during Comet TV's Wednesday night binge from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. You can watch a monster block of Babylon 5, and it is so much fun to see that show on TV again. But yes, everyone who is supporting through Patreon and through PayPal, that is what your welcome donations are helping keep online. Babylon Podcast, Slice of Sci-Fi, Writers After Dark, Charlie Jade even is still out there. And if you would like to add your support, monthly pledges through Patreon can be submitted through patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if you just want to send in a couple bucks every now and then, you can use the PayPal link, paypal.me/scifisummer. I'd also like to throw my heartfelt thanks out to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for providing the theme music for this show. They are very close to my heart, mixing geek flavor and rock and roll. Just a permanent place of joy in my heart. If you want to listen to more music by those guys, you can find their website at sci-fried.com or search for Sci-Fried on YouTube and enjoy the goofy geekiness. You will not be disappointed, truly. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening and supporting and commenting. It is greatly appreciated. And like I said, I have all this encyclopedic knowledge of science fiction, television, and movies, and I don't know what to do with it because not enough people are asking me questions, so help before my brain explodes or melts or something. But we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.